Hello, hello, and welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Moe, which means that I'm in the Paisley Penny Arcade. Unless, of course, I'm not, but I am. So, there you are, and there you have it. And here we are, and here we have it. Today is Wednesday, the 30th of April, 2025. Ha! The last day of April. Right? Right. Which means that tomorrow is May Day. That's right. Tomorrow is May Day. And that means that on the modern calendar, well, the modern, it's not the modern calendar at all. It is the modern old calendar, the old calendar, but modernized. It is Beltane. So celebrate as you will. Celebrate with old modern Beltane. And happy Beltane to you. Actual Beltane is when the sun is exactly between the equinox and the solstice. So the equinox and the solstice, or the solstice and the equinox, if you will. So that's right. It gets complicated. 45 days between the two, and that's the way that goes, which will be about the 5th of May, which would put it at Monday. Monday, the 5th of May. Or maybe the 4th, in which case, may the 4th be with you. Thank you so much. Otherwise, it would be Cinco de Mayo, in which case, have yourself a cerveza, unless you don't drink cervezas. In which case, have a case or two of whatever it is you drink. And don't worry about me, although people do worry about me from time to time. So how are ya? Yeah, Beltane. What is Beltane? Beltane means basically the festival of fire. And that is what it's about. It's about the fire of the earth springing forth in summer. And the old calendar is pretty cool. I like the old calendar. I follow it. Of course, I follow the new calendar, too, because I live in the 25th century. 25th century. That was Buck Rogers. Buck Rogers. Buck Rogers in the 25th century. You know. Here. Let me do this right. Buck Rogers in the 25th century. That's a little more likely. Or a little more like it. Don't mind me. I'm just losing what's left of my mind, I suppose. I started losing it probably about as soon as I started using it. So, it's been quite a while. Nothing you need to worry about. Step away from the man with the beard. That's all right. So, how are you on this last day of April of the 25th year of the 21st century? God, how did I live this long? I'm quite happy to be here, though. Quite happy to be here, and a little bit amazed to be here, to be quite honest. Yeah, quite amazed and amused. So tomorrow will be observed Beltane. How do you observe it? Well, bonfires are nice, but don't do that. Don't do that. Unless, of course, you have a lot of people and a permit. A permit is good. Maypoles are always a ton of fauna. And, of course, they are a representation of fertilizing the earth. Fertilizing the earth is good. Use natural fertilizer if you got it. If you don't, well, you know, do what you need to do, I guess. But the maypole is always a fascinating symbol of pagan energy. And they were good at that, those pagans. Yes, they were. And the maypole, the weaving in and out and all of that. Very, very fascinating. And of course, there's the May Queen. The May Queen was a young girl, prepubescent, who represented innocence. And often they would take hawthorn flowers and weave them in her hair. And I won't go too much further because it gets a little bit risque in description of the hawthorn scent. And they'd send her from door to door, and she and her court, because she was the Queen of the May, yes, there is a Queen of the May, they would collect money or food or whatever anyone could give, and there would be a communal charity. And the money would be given to the poor of the village in order to so that they could survive. Gee, that was a time that people cared about each other. They still do. What am I saying? People care a great deal about each other. They really do. People care a lot about each other. It's just there are certain entities that don't care at all about each other, it seems. But and then they would have a huge party that night that would culminate with the bonfire. And that was big, big deal. After all, it is the Festival of Fire. Bonfires were very popular back in the day. And then the ash of all of that, the ashes of the bonfire were spread, or strewn, as it were, upon the field. And then that night, in a sort of a, oftentimes a bit of a drunken orgy, not orgy, that's not true. People went back to their respective places, and babies were made. And that was a big part of it, too. Fertility. Fertility. I was born about this type of year. I'm a May baby. I'm a Taurus. And we Tauruses are bullish on everything. We can't help it. Yeah. It's a lovely time of year to be born, I think. I've enjoyed it. I'm sure most of you who are born in your times of year, hopefully you love it. My dear friend who passed in February, he was born on September 11th. And after September 11th, the big one with the towers falling, he hated his birthday, despised it, and was loath to celebrate it. He and I went out for lunch on his birthday every year. I bought him lunch for, well, decades. And he bought me lunch for decades, and we just went out to lunch for decades. And I finally said, okay, we'll pick another day, because he just loathed it so much. And I don't think that that's fair. I think that you should love it regardless of what happens. But he took it very seriously and quite personally, I will say. Yeah, but you have to have empathy for someone and compassion for what they're going through. It's hard to get over things. And I don't think he ever quite got over it. He finally got to where I could take him out on his birthday again. So that was good. So I hope you're well. I hope that the news isn't getting you down too much, or I hope, if it is, that you're dealing with it, bouncing off. Bouncing is good. Bouncing is good. I have a personal thank you to say, and that's to Leslie. Leslie, thank you for the note. Last year I spoke about greed. And its evils, and I talked about our stair chair thing, stair lift, stair chair, that goes up and down the stairs, and on a thing, and how there was an unexpected that no one told us about, and I think that was quite contrived, because if someone had said, you know, it's going to cost you $700 a year to maintain the lifetime warranty on this thing, we would have said, oh, no, thank you. We would have kept looking around, but there's a $700 a year warranty, maintenance agreement that you have to maintain. Now, we haven't gotten anything in writing yet, but the lady called a week ago today, and she called today and left a message claiming that I had told her I really wanted her to explain it all to me in a week, which I did not. So this is like, oh boy, you know. But Leslie sent me a beautiful note telling me that she's got one, and they didn't do a thing to it for years. I really appreciate that. Thank you. It'll help me a lot, and we can decide what to do once I get the paperwork, if it ever comes. I'm sure it will eventually, because they want desperately want our money, which we can't afford such a frivolity as peace of mind. That's shorter and shorter to come by, or later and later to come by, or whatever we might want to say. Peace of mind in this society lately has been fleeting, I'm afraid to say, and I don't know if you found that to be true or not. But I'm going to talk a little bit about dealing with such things a little bit today. Actually, I'm going to talk about something that I kind of came up with, and that's called dealing with the density. The density. Now, we in the metaphysical realm have always had to deal with the density. And the question is, what is the density? And, I think you might have a clue as to what I'm talking about. What is the density? We're going to talk about some other things, I'm sure, too. But I suppose what it is when people just don't get it. People just don't get it. Now, any of you who have been readers throughout the years, who have done this for more than just a little bit, may have had people that you have spoken to over and over again and you've given advice to, and they just never kind of got it. Because you would say, don't do this, don't do it. By the way, what you think you're going to do, don't do it. And yet, they did it. Maybe over and over and over again. That's the density. There's a denseness there. And it's not that they're dense, necessarily, but there's a denseness in a particular way of thinking. Right now, I think we are in a dense time. The density is our culture, our society, and unfortunately, it's not a very pleasant place to be, you know. And how do we deal with this? It's causing a lot of stress for a lot of people that I do know. And not all of them are dealing with it in a very good way. They're just not. And I think that part of what we do, we in the field that I am in, is we help people to deal with the times. Sometimes that's all we can do. Maybe we've been in a dense time for quite a while. I mean, I certainly have been dense. God almighty, have I been dense. Ooh-wee. I've been dense so many times. That's true. But I do snap out of it from time to time, and I change the direction I'm going, or I change my point of view. That's the key, is every now and then we have to snap out of it, you know. Come on, wake up. Wake up, you're no longer a chicken. Well, can I stay a chicken a little longer? Because eggs are so expensive, you know. But the point is to just kind of wake up and move forward and go in a direction that seems better, you know. What's interesting is when dealing with Tarot, let's say, Tarot snaps you out of it pretty quickly, because Tarot is, here's my cards. Cards, I'd like to introduce you to the people listening. Oh, okay. They say hello and welcome. And I say, well, I already welcomed them. And they say, well, who are you? And I say, well, you know who I am. And they say, that's why I asked who you were. So I see, a little insulting today. The cards have a way of not being gentle. The cards are always very to the point, you know. And that's interesting. Speaking of being to the point, you may have heard that 1-2 is perhaps going to go, and is, parts of it are going to go on to YouTube, which I think is fascinating. And is my show still going to be on? My show is still going to be on live every week and will also be on demand. So I don't think my show as it is going to change. I think I'm still going to do my format the way it is now on the radio. And I think it'll be available in replay on demand. So you can listen to my show. So those of you who would like to hear it can do so. And you can tune in after the fact and listen to it on the radio as you're doing now, though nothing's really on the radio anymore, is it? You know, that's how Will, what was his name? Oh, God. Oh, my. Am I losing that? No. Woodrow Wilson. I got it. I could see him. I could hear him because I heard a tape of him saying that, the radio. History class, you know. But I may also dally with the YouTube, because I have a YouTube channel. And I'm playing with the cards. And they're looking, they just said, oh, really, Mo? Are you going to do that? Is that such a good idea? And the reason they're asking me that question is because I played around and I recorded myself. And I played it back and looked at myself. And I looked like one of those guys that you see on the street who goes, hey, mister, say, listen, come over. No. Come over here for lady. No, don't run away. Come on here, lady, come over. No, come on, sir. Just a quarter. That's all I need. I'm not going to buy any wine with it. I don't drink, you know. That I look like that guy. I mean, I really was dumbfounded. I mean, you look in a mirror every day. You don't see yourself as people see you. And the unflinching eye of the camera shows you what people see. And I thought, oh, God, I have to do some work on myself, you know. At least trim my beard up a little bit. It's been, about 11 months since I've trimmed up. And I don't know what... You see, back when I was in my youth... My beard was very, very curly and springy, and so I could get away with it. Maybe I couldn't. Maybe I just was young and didn't, you know. But I saw this picture, and I just went, oh, my God, look at me. I think that would be wrong, which is probably why I like radio so much, because you can do, you know, a little better. I don't know, I can hide, but I don't feel like hiding. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to let people see me as I am. So maybe just get out a pair of shears, you know, and just trim up the strays. I mean, there have been times when I've been eating and I'll actually, you know, have beard hairs wrapped around my fork. And I'm thinking, really, is that normal? Probably not. I'm old. This is what happens when you get old, you know. Weird things happen. Now, if I got ear hairs wrapped around my fork, that would be truly, that would just be unappetizing and horrendous. I might have to scream, you know. But, yuck. But I now know what my wife has been telling me, which is, you know, she kind of watches over me, and I don't always listen, and I guess I'd have to do something with the hair on my head, which is not much of it, but what is there looks pretty disheveled, and I've just gotten to the point where, you know, I mean, I realize if you're going to put yourself on the internet, which is permanent, it's there forever, that I need to, and it's not vanity, it's just, I mean, I have grandkids, and they're going to see me someday and they're going to go, oh my God, and kids are going to go, is that your grandfather? Oh my God, he's an ogre. They'll either be proud or horrified, so yeah, it's just one of those things. You just say, well, I just got to do something. So eventually, maybe I'll get up there, and I have all sorts of thoughts of what to do. Some of them might even be interesting to other people. I don't even know. Maybe a little short series on Aleister Crowley and some of his thoughts, because he's genuinely not only misunderstood, but boy, people have some very ignorant ideas about the guy. There was nothing evil about him. Evil is a... There are people who have been evil and, in fact, are evil. There's some of it going on, in my opinion, right now. There's some of that happening. I'm not going to get into that, but that's a different story. I want to say to my friends in Canada, sorry. It's not my fault. You know that. I love Canada. I love the Canadians. Some of the nicest people I've ever met. I like Americans too. I like Egyptians. I like British. I like met lots of people. But really, to anger the Canadians? Really? How do you do that? Okay, that's enough. That comes back to the density. The density. There's always density in the world in some way. I mean, there is. There's just always people who have that density. When I was in college, Reverend Jeb, I've talked about old Jeb before, he would stand on a bench and he would preach. And he'd thump his Bible, literally thump that Bible against his leg, or he'd pound on it. And I'd think, what are you pounding that Bible for, you know? But it was to get attention. And he'd say things like, anyone who doesn't believe in this and doesn't believe in that will burn in the fires of hell. And you challenge him on it, and he'd grin at you as he'd tell you that, yes, anyone who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, Lord, Savior, that means even before Jesus Christ was born, went to hell. And you think, well, wait a minute, that's not very fair. And he'd laugh. He'd say, well, no, it isn't fair, but it is fair. And, you know, because they had their chance to believe in him later on. And you'd say, how does that work? And he'd say, I don't question God. And he was just that kind. And it was dense. It was really dense. He was just there to argue. And I was dense. I was as thick as a brick because I'd stand there and just argue with this guy and I'd get riled up. And he had such fun toying with me. He was an adult, mind you. I was 20, 21. I was in college and he would just toy with me. And of course, here comes one of the first things about how do you deal with density. Don't argue with people who absolutely love to toy with people's minds, you know, mind games. So relationships, people you know who just love messing with people's heads, brain drains, brain games, people who enjoy it. And there are people who do love to mess with people's heads. Why are you wasting time with those people? Walk away from them. It took me a long time to realize that. But it's an important little tip here. And you can play into their games so easily. It's very easy to do. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. They love taking your time. Just like greedy people love taking your money, there are people who are greedy for attention. And they're greedy for whatever it is they can get from you. And they'll take as much of it as they can. So watch it, you know? Dense, 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 dense. And I'm dense. I can be dense a lot. I'm naive, gullible. Wow, am I gullible. War is proof of density. Man, it's thickness. War, because there's always someone in wartime who is being stubborn. They want something. They want something. They're not going to back down of it, down from it. And you know, stubbornness. Well, what good is stubbornness? I've been stubborn through a lot of my life, often for no good reason other than I refuse to budge. Well, I can always fall back and say, I'm a Taurus. I come by it honestly. But that's a terrible, terrible excuse. But I've done it. People can be very stubborn. Principle, people can be, it's like, you know, lawsuits are oftentimes based on pure, sheer stubbornness. And what good are they? Well, oftentimes they're a lot of good. People should not back down from certain principles. For example, Harvard Law School, or Harvard School, Harvard University, is not backing down from extortion threats made by certain individuals right now. And I'm glad to see it. I'm glad to see it because some universities have backed down because of threats that have been made. And my dad was an academic, and he taught in universities his entire adult life. And one of the things that I saw in there were the politics of university life. And it sickened me. It made me so sick that I really didn't want to have any part of it when I got to be old enough to understand what was going on. I had a chance to be in academia, and, well, some other things screwed that up, but not really beyond my abilities to change, but I trusted someone I shouldn't have trusted. It's a long story, and I don't want to get into it now. Just isn't worth it, if you know what I mean. But the real story there is I probably wouldn't have done very well because it was way too political, and I'm not a very good political guy. I'm just not that good at it. You know, how much obsequiousness can you really do without making someone mad, without just finally saying, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, I don't want to play this horrific game. I don't want to be this guy. You know, you have to decide for yourself. One of the things about being one of us, and I'm including you as a listener to this, because most of you listening out there are artistic, you're free of spirit, you have a different mind, and you really do exercise that. You make it a part of your life because it's important to you. It's really, truly important to you to be who you are. And some of you may say, yeah, I listen to this show, or I listen to this radio station, or I get readings, or I do readings. It's vital to you. And some of you may not talk about it because it's either no one's damn business but yours, or you know what can happen. People can judge. Some of you care about that judgment. Some of you don't give a damn, you know. I'm the type who doesn't generally care. I mean, I'm not afraid to play my flutes or strum on the ukulele or yodel or do whatever I do, even if I do it very badly. And whoever listens. I mean, I'm working still on my ney, my Turkish flute, my Egyptian flute, my Anasazi flute out on my back porch where all the neighbors have to endure it. And it doesn't bother me in the least. It's like, okay, you live next to me. You don't have to pay for this. You know, you get it for free. And that's the way it goes. But a lot of people can't do that. But I've given up on you know, modesty a long time ago. You do what you do. You are who you are. And the one thing we've kind of realized is that we have to be who we are. I tried to fit in when I was a kid. 1964, here it was, the Beatles came out. I was just a kid. I was in the fourth grade. And I wanted to get, all the boys were getting Beatles haircuts. And kids had been making fun of my hair because it was so darn curly for years, ever since I started school. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to get a Beatles haircut. And my hair was like curly, 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 curly. So I went to the barber, and the barber said, you know, I really can't do a Beatles haircut on you. I can't do this. I won't do this. I said, okay, and I was mad. And so I went from our normal barber to another barber, and he said, sit in the chair, kid. And he did this ridiculous thing to my hair, and it didn't look like a Beatles haircut. It didn't look like much of anything. It was kind of a crew cut, and I went home, and my mother was crying, and I was not happy. And the kids made more fun of me, and I realized, okay, I love the Beatles. That was fine because the music was great. It really was. And that wasn't a fad that I was into. But I realized, okay, I am not going to have a Beatles haircut ever. Ever. I just have to be myself. And that came at a pretty early age. Actually, it came in the first grade. I won't tell you that story because it's kind of pathetic, you know. But a teacher told me I walked like a duck, so I started quacking. And I heard the kids, I was out in the coat room with her, and she was getting mad. But the kids in the room were laughing hysterically because they could hear me quack, 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 quacking like a duck. And I knew she was getting mad, but the kids were laughing. And the more they laughed, the louder I quacked. And it did not end well. But that was me. That was just me. I couldn't help myself because I was making them laugh. And that was a good thing. So you be who you are. And eventually, when I freaked out, and I've mentioned on this show before, for those of you into trivia, that the original meaning of freaking out was finding your inner freak, that you become who you are. You tear away from society, and you basically find your plumage, whatever that may be. For me, it was very long hair and a long, scraggly beard. Actually, my beard now is, I love it, but it just, I realized people would be, you know, they would see, like, you know, the flora and fauna in it, they would holler or something. But, you know, it's just being who you are. But and that was freaking out. Dressing the way you liked to dress, which for me was a Tom Mix Stetson hat, huge 10-gallon cowboy hat with a thumb crease down the middle, rolled brim. Beautiful. I still have the hat. Yeah, it's a great hat. I've had it for 50 years, you know. And a big red bandana, and, you know, overalls and sneakers. And, I mean, I was really a sight to see, something to behold, something, I think. It was the time to express oneself, and that's what I did. And that's what we did. And I realized that the people who didn't get me would never get me. My dad got me. He understood. My mother never did. To her, I was a complete enigma. Actually, I think to her, I was a monster of some sort. You know, she was dense to me. I knew that she would never get me, you know, and I, you know, was what that was the expression of an entire generation. We were just, it was like, who are you? What are you now? You know, some guys just grew their hair a little bit. Mine was incredibly long. It was where we were. And so the density there was an entire society, and they turned against us. And so what we did is we had to survive. You know, we fought the best we could by being who we were. That doesn't always work, you know? We were stubborn, though. And then we got into society, and so many of us just caved. I never caved. I'm still who I was back then. And that hasn't worked out all the way for me, but it's okay. You know, I'm still the weird guy I was back then, and I'm still in this society, and I'm still alive. That will change one day, but for now, I still want to be here, and I'm working hard to do that. Now, my dad had one bias in his life. He had one thing that he hated, and that was it. You know, he was tolerant of all races. He was tolerant of all creeds. He was tolerant of just everything except for stupidity. And that was the only thing he was intolerant of, was stupidity. And I have to define that for you. Stupidity was not an intellectual incapacity. That was, so someone who was of a lower IQ than someone else was not in his mind stupid. That was not it. As a matter of fact, he was very, very nice to people, regardless of their intellectual capacities, right? That was not at all. Stupidity for him was refusing to learn or to see the truth. Stupidity was sometimes a choice. It was a willingness to follow the easy way of thinking. It was not something that was inborn, you see. And that to him was a crime. People who didn't think for themselves people who didn't do the right thing and use their brains. So for him, a lot of the time I was really stupid. So when my dad called me stupid, he meant it. And it was considered a real insult. And I have to agree, there were times when I was. And I learned that the one thing that we have to do in this world is think for ourselves. And try and think as clearly as we can. We have to think critically at times and not be involved in the density. Not think in that way. So many people give up their thinking, you know? I was speaking to someone about a year ago, and they said, I'm going to vote for Trump. And God bless them. It's someone I care a great deal about, by the way. And I just said, why? And they said, well, because I like them. And I said, you don't like, you know, the other fella. And they said, no, he's way too old. I said, you know, they're about the same age. Oh, but he doesn't have mental capacity. And I said, oh, okay. Why? Because so-and-so told me. I said, so-and-so told you. Would you do your own investigating, please? Well, how do I do that? Well, I'm. What do you mean? How do you do that? You have to do your... See, people no longer are willing to research things themselves. And that's the problem, isn't it? That people aren't really willing to move away from the density. They're not willing to move into space, where things are spaced out, where things are... I've been pretty spaced out in my time, to be honest. But this is not a time for that. There's a lot at stake here, I think. And part of it is our ability to think properly, to be responsible in our own thinking process. You know, I'm concerned with the future. Obviously, not for me that much, because my future is kind of, I'm like here, okay, I'm here. And no matter what, I'm going to, you know, be around for as long as I'm around. But I've got kids and I've got grandkids, and eventually I'll have great grandkids, I presume, I assume. But the main part is that I love this world. And the one, I really love the metaphysical paradigm, and I want it to be around. But the way things are going, there's a lot of clenching going on. And that clenching could very well say, we don't like these types, because that's happened before. It's happened a lot of times. We don't like these types because these types are against our religion, or these types are against our principles, or these types just creep us out. Now, I have read for people who don't like these types, but they like me, and they like the information that I'm able to give them. And so they've used me, and they've listened to the information I've given them. I've become pretty handy for some people like this, who probably would be completely ostracized if it became known that they had used me. Sometimes I worry a little bit that I will become known as someone whom they use, because that makes me a little bit too bright and shiny, if you know what I mean. But there's not a whole lot I can do. The density. So what do we do? How do we protect ourselves? We just think for ourselves. We use our tools. Our tools will always look through that stuff like X-ray. So, let me ask Trow. Trow's my main axe, as they say in music. And I say, what will come of all this? Five of Wands, strife. Okay, well, that's authority. That's right there. That's an authority card. So that's already happening. Okay. How about a long-term look at this? Four of Wands, completion. Well, Four of Wands in my deck is a pretty powerful card. It's tribal. It pushes. It's John Bonham, the drummer from Led Zeppelin, drumming and doing the song Four Sticks, which is an incredible song off of Led Zeppelin 4, in which he used four sticks. Well, tell me more about that, Turo. Six of Wands, victory. And in my deck, the six wands are six books. Because I believe the Six of Wands is about the victory being an intellectual victory, but more than that, just the victory of, because books are made out of paper, they used to be, and paper made out of wood, pulp. So this will be a return to sanity. See, so what the Tarot is saying is that, yes, there's going to be trouble. It's going to be hard. It's going to be strife. And when it's over, there will be a return to, well, sanity, to the old, not the old ways necessarily, but to the law, to understanding. One of those books is open, and it's open to two cards in my deck, which is the Emperor and the Hierophant, which I chose specifically. I won't get into why, although it should be evident. And to the right of that is a legal pad, and notes are being made. So it's obvious that there will have to be a return to some ideas to what is going on. What did we lose? Long or short term, Tarot? Not long term. And the reason for that shows is it's the Six of Swords reversed, because they won't succeed. It's science. The Six of Swords is science. And my science card is a Rube Goldberg card. I designed it and drew it with, as a matter of fact, it's about how to get a vaccine. Isn't that interesting? I designed this, gosh, many, many years ago, when I was about 55. Is that about right? Something like that, in my 50s. And now I've got to be 71. Soon, very soon. So, yeah, that's about right, I think. I think that's when I designed this and drew it. So, how to get a vaccine. They're not going to succeed with this. Science reverse. They don't have it planned out well enough. There's too much of a haphazard aspect to all of this stuff going on. So what we're talking about is, if it were well planned out, if it were really specifically designed well, then we would have more to worry about. But it seems to be kind of slapped together. Here's another card, wealth. Yeah, well, we know that. And the problem with the wealth card, as with all the tens in Tarot, is that the tens are the heaviest aspect of their suit. My ten of discs shows a very wealthy man being weighed against gold, 10 discs of gold, and the crowd angrily watching this, very angrily watching this. Just a few members of the crowd. I didn't feel like drawing thousands of people, but... And one of them is wearing a Phrygian hat, you know, from France, or Jacobian hat, I guess it would be. But the implication being revolution. So, wow, this is kind of right to the point. I think that what I'm seeing here is that we'll be fine. You and I will be fine. So not to worry. A lot of people are very worried. But the people, we the people... you know, and I know this gets boring, but the point is that it influences us. We're not alone. We're not standing out in a field by ourselves. We're all connected. And I think that's important to remember. Even those of us who feel very solitary, we're not alone. We're all connected energetically, emotionally. Those of us who study the arts are all connected. And that is something a lot of people forget. And I think it's important to remember. There are times when we do feel alone. There are times when I sure feel alone. I have felt very alone. I have talked about my friend Frodo, the druid. And before I met him in Louisiana, I felt very alone. And it was just for a few weeks that we met, connected, and became brothers. And honestly, to this day, I still feel as if he is a brother of mine. I don't know why. I can't begin to tell you. But there is still something very valuable about him in my life. I didn't feel alone for the first time in a long, long time. He was as weird as I was, maybe a lot weirder. He was as lonely as I was when it came to being understood. He was brilliant. But for a while with him in my life, I felt balanced. And I think that's all we search for. Talking to you every week on the radio, writing my columns every week for Mark's Power Peak, I feel like I'm alive. It gives me a chance to dance in the fire a little bit, if I can put it that way. When I met Mark and John at the 12th House Bookstore in 91, it was like, oh my God, this is home. And it was for a few years because I was there. I was one of their house readers. I taught classes. It was very comfortable for me. It was alive. And we all need that connection. That's how we get through the density. That's how we make it. We do it as a community. We do it by finding others who are like us. And sometimes it's the only way to get through the stupidity of what's going on around us. The sorrow that comes from that. And there are times when there is only sorrow, you know. I'm running cards as we speak. They're cue cards in a way. There's going to be a lot of times when we don't feel very successful. When we don't feel like things are happening in a good way. And we just need to be able to regroup and say, okay, all right, this is the way the real world is. But we have our world too. And it is powerful. And it is right. And don't let anyone tell you that it isn't right. Because, my dear friends, they are wrong. We are on the right path. Tomorrow is the beginning of summer in the old ways, in the new calendar. You know what I mean. The new old calendar. The one that says that the 1st of May is Beltane. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And on the equinox, the vernal equinox, we begin then. Well, actually, you know, tomorrow is the first day of summer in the meteorological calendar. If there's still a meteorological group in this country anymore, I think they rescinded their order to destroy Noah. Not the person, but the North Oceanic and Atlantic meteorological, whatever it is. It is important to understand that there is goodness and there are true right things, right action to take. The card I drew just now was the Three of Wands, virtue, in the deck. And in my deck, those three wands are the legs of a three-legged stool. And it's sitting in front of a cow. You can see the udder, and underneath that udder is a pail. And so the three-legged stool, there is no wrong side. It always sits perfectly so that you can sit upon it, so you can milk that cow. And it's a beautiful day. The sun in Aries is the Three of Wands in Tarot. And the sun in Aries, the first day of the sun in Aries, is the first day of spring. And that's coming. That's the equinox. And so that cow needs to be milked. Unless it has a calf, and if it's been used as a dairy cow, then it needs to be milked. It has to be done. And it has to be done every single day. And that's not easy to milk a cow. There's a technique, and it's, you know, you have to get down on that stool, and you have to put the side of your head against the udder, and you have to squeeze just right and pull at the same time. And there's a muscle that builds up on your hand, you know, and it takes work, but it's a labor of love. It's a labor of love. Because that cow gives you something. Cows are beautiful creatures. They're gorgeous animals. And it's virtuous to do that. It's the right thing to do. And it's been done every single day for tens of thousands of years. Think about that. Think about how remarkable that is. So that's what we have to do. And we have to maintain that attitude. And we have to remain strong. And my Nine of Wands, strength. It's nine different flutes. The wands are different wooden flutes, which is interesting because you blow into them. Yeah. I think the only flute I don't have is the Native American flute. And the pan flute. Well, I don't have a rosewood walking stick flute like Benjamin Franklin had. Wouldn't mind one of those. I think I have the rest of them. But strength. What is the meaning of that for me? That you have to keep into the arts and a little bit. You have to learn to play music. You don't have to play music, but appreciate things in the meantime. Strength is about more than just picking up a battle axe or something unpleasant like that. Strength is sometimes involving yourself in something beautiful. Even if it isn't beautiful at the time, it can bring beauty. The joy of learning something new. The joy of putting your mind to something else. Right? And understanding that there are going to be lots of dense things happening around us, and understanding the reality of the time. And that, I believe, is maybe the most important part of it all. I got the Nine of Swords, cruelty. That's just the way it is. There's going to be a lot of stupidity before there is clarity. Nine of Swords. It's right there. And the last card, the Magician. My Magician, you'd have to see it. It's a card I drew when I was 24 years old in charcoal, and then I redid it for this deck. He's quite a character, this guy. He's young and cocky, but he deserves to be. He deserves to be. The Magician. We're all the Magician, you know. It's just a matter of attitude. So things are going to work out. The density is around us, but it's what we are that makes a difference. We're special. Don't forget it. You know it. You've always known it. You've always known it, and that's why you're you. And that's why we're listening to each other. I'm listening to you. I can feel you. You know? Trust me, I appreciate you so much. So much. And I love you deeply. And thank you so much, those of you who drop a note. Let me know you're out there. Leslie, thank you for writing. Anne, thank you for writing. Those of you who write, you do me a lot of good. Yeah, because sometimes I wonder. But none of us are alone. None of us are alone. I may trim my beard up this week. I don't know. It does this weird wavy thing now. It's like it's trying to escape my face in different directions. Love you all. Until next week, peace and love. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2.